What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in. Just a quick heads up before we jump into this episode. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Podcast on each of those platforms. Also, be sure to follow us on our socials. We post on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on all three of those sites. Also, stay tuned. We are going to be running our own In the End Zone Instagram page here very soon. So if you follow the main channel, the Settle Down Podcast on Instagram, look out for some information and you'll be able to sign up for that In the End Zone Instagram page. So thanks for doing that and enjoy the In the End Zone podcast. Peace.
What's up, brothers? Welcome to the new episode, brothers. Chick Friday.
Keaton, where are we, man? What happened?
I'm cooked, boys.
Why are you in there, bro?
What happened?
Were you the one throwing the rocks? Were you the one throwing the rocks?
Yeah, were you throwing the rocks? And did you have to defend yourself?
I wasn't, man. I wasn't.
So look,
I'm gonna show you what happened. I'm gonna show you what happened. Let me first share the video I got so you guys can have some. Man, I might not be getting out of here. All right, well, here's the video. So. Yeah,
but you're not locked up in that. Like, you just
well, I wasn't at I wasn't at the time. I was like a suspect to be named, you know. And yeah, basically what happened was, like, I ran a stop sign, and when the cop pulled me over, I told him, like, bro, you have no idea who I am. Like, I'm in media, right? And like, I've got a podcast to film, and like, you're fucking this up for me. So he didn't take too much offense to that, and he's like, hey, I need to see your license and registration. And I said, look, man, you're about to see God if you don't let me go. And so I went to go reach for a Bible, but I went like that, you know, like the Bible was in, because I was like, maybe if I like spread the good message, he'll let me go, right? And so I kind of went like this, like, if this is the Bible, I'm like, you're about to see God. And I went, and he thought I had a weapon. So yeah, he the boys in blue came, locked me up, booked me for intent to harm a public servant.
My question was going to be, is why were there that many cop cars, you know, all around you if you just ran a stop sign?
Yeah, but so
you went to go reach for a Bible.
I wasn't gonna.
How are you?
It sucks.
Yeah. So how long you been in there for so far?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
That's why we started late. So yo, I informed them. I said, look, I have a podcast to film. You must not know that two of our clips last week on YouTube Shorts got 12,000 views each. Like, we're famous.
Like, how did they not know? They probably watched
like, it. I know. Yeah. And that I, you know.
And if they haven't, I mean, youtube.com/settledownmedia. You'll find all of them there.
Yeah.
And specifically, if you're looking for our stuff, In the End Zone. That's
mm-hmm.
That's the second where we post anything. So
I got charged for intent to harm a police officer. I've already been booked. Oh. So I don't. We'll get my court date tomorrow. We'll find out. Saul Goodman's about to be my lawyer.
You better be playing this tomorrow.
T Grizzly, bro. Or the T Grizzly is gonna be my.
Hey, you know what, Keaton?
We'll see what happens next week.
Be happy that they gave you a good camera, you know, because the camera quality you're at right now, it's fantastic.
They let me bring it. Yeah. Yeah, this is the jail camera. So,
yeah,
no, actually, pretty good quality. I snuck into the warden's office and I stole his webcam. So,
all in the span of 20 minutes?
What are you in fucking holes?
I'm a quick man. Quick man.
God.
So, anyway, we'll see what happens next week.
A couple times, huh? Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're a quick man. You're a quick man, honey.
Hey.
Oh God, that's hilarious.
Anyway, we'll see what happens next week. We'll see.
What a ride for you. What a ride for you, man. This last
literally, dude, that stressful ride in the back of the cop car was not fun. So ride.
Stressful, yeah. Fun. You're in jail now. I mean,
and I just got a job, man. I just got employed. I just got told yesterday I was going to get a job. So that's cooked.
Now you got to tell him.
Now you got to
tell him. Locked up, you won't let me out. Won't let me out.
Oh my
Locked God. Up. won't let me out. Oh, wait, it's
good. Anyways, should we actually get into some football?
Yes, we should.
Yes, we should. Out.
Green 18, red 48. Settle down. Wide 80, sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is
egregious. I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company.
Called
Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the headquarters right now, dude.
Oh man, that last part gets me. It gets me
so funny.
You imagine they do a podcast? That would be crazy.
That'd be sick. We could be on it. We'd
probably make a lot of money. Yeah. No, we couldn't. But let's dive in, fellas. We have had a crazy couple of last days in football.
Yeah.
The NFL has been heating up. The offseason is heating up. But specifically,
mini camps are in session.
Yeah. This last week has been fucking wild. And
I'll be back.
Speaking about wild, I mean, this is probably the craziest story that we have from today. CMC gets a contract extension worth up to $38 million in 2 years. So he's going to get $19 million a year. With that being said, I was really worried as a 49ers fan because I'm like, okay, you can't extend everyone, including Juwan Jennings. We signed Logan Thomas, which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. And then we also just extended CMC, like I just said, right? We can't do all of that and then sign Brandon. However, what I didn't know was that his contract was backloaded. So this changes it to being more of a front-loaded contract, allowing the Niners to have more cap space. Now, you ask all the logistics. I don't know the logistics. I couldn't tell you, but this is what I know. The Niners now, next year, have $31 million, $31,922,547 in cap space. Is that enough to keep Brandon Ayuk? They front-loaded CMC. We have enough this year. With that being said, again, it creates more than $8.5 million in cap space for the 49ers in each of the next 4 years. So it's not just this year, too. It's next year, the year after that, which is starting to look good for a Brandon Ayuk deal. So can we keep Brandon?
The latest I've heard about Brandon Ayuk is that he hasn't showed up to any of your guys' practices lately.
Yeah, that's a big one, too.
Mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, mandatory minicamp. Thank you. He hasn't shown up to any of those yet. And there's been 3, I believe, so far. Maybe 4, 5. I can't remember exactly. I can't remember the exact number. But it's been a couple. He hasn't shown up to a single one. He does get fined for every single time he does not show up to one, too. How long is this going to go on? Right? I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been probably 2.
Yeah, roughly 2 to 3. Then 2, yeah. That being said, though, it does raise some questions. It does raise some concerns for Niner fans still. The cap space is a great news for you guys, though, for what's coming up. But I don't know. I really don't know how that's going to go. We've seen stranger things happen. So I really don't know. Like, Zach, you're the Niner fan here. Like, what are your true, honest opinions? Thoughts on that, and not being biased, not being the biased Niner fan. I want to hear the true, honest opinion.
I woke up this morning, got out of bed, made some breakfast, and then saw CMC got a new deal. Keaton, you've obviously seen the deal, but I'm gonna repeat it just in case if you guys didn't hear it before. 2 years, $39 million or $38 million, excuse me, which means that's 19 million years, roughly a year. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, dude, there's no fucking way. There's no way the Niners are going to be able to sign Brandon Ayuk. And I got like pretty upset. Like, we have a chat called Niners Anonymous. We were talking about it. Me and Diego were going back and forth. We're like, there's no way. Then I see this post, the one that I just
talked about. Thanks for the invite.
In which, yeah, you're not going to ever be in that one. Neither are you, Ant. No disrespect. And you guys can
I'll
have
find
your
a
own
way.
Chats. I know you guys have them, but Then I see both of these, the ones that I just explained, and I see that we have over $31 million in cap space for 2024, and we freed up $8.5 million in cap space over the next 4 years. Is Brandon staying? I mean, this has to be a move to keep Brandon. That's the only thing that I'm thinking. Why else would you do it?
Well, yeah. Let's put a pause on this then. Let's put a pause on this part then, and let's circle back to it real quick. What about the potential signing with Logan Thomas?
See, that's the thing too. And I'm like, okay, that's what scared me. I saw Logan Thomas, mm-hmm. CMC, and Juwan Jennings within the last week. And I'm like, we don't have the cap space. Then I look at it, and this is like legit facts off the 49ers website of the cap space that we have. One of them is an Instagram post. One of them is directly from the 49ers 2024 cap table, which is from their website. So it's like, we have the money. Extending CMC is a win-win. I don't know how it is. I don't understand the money. I think it's based off of backloading and frontloading, like I said, but it's a win-win. We get CMC. He's happy with the money that he gets. And now we have enough. If Brandon wants 31 mil, which I don't think he's worth, but if he wants it, we have enough to give it to him. I'm a happy 49ers fan. I am. I think Logan Thomas is also a great signing. And a little bit on that, I looked into it because I was curious as to why. And Kyle Shanahan actually said that he wanted to bring in more competition. So he said, we like our group and there's some competition there, but having the opportunity at this point in the season to be able to add a veteran like Logan with his skill set and be able to get him in here to compete and be ready for something like this, we're kind of pumped to pull off at this time. So I think it's a good signing. I like it. Like I said, it really worried me, but we have the money. We have Logan Thomas when he was healthy 2 years ago with the Skins. Maybe they were the Commanders then, but with the Commanders, he was good. So I'm happy, dude. I'm a happy 49ers fan. I'm really praying to see breaking news. Brandon Ayuk signs deal with the 49ers. That's all I'm looking for at this point.
Pretty cool.
That's it. That's really it. Cool. But I'm pretty hyped about that, dude. Like, that was some big news. We just talked about the Logan Thomas a little bit. I think that's a good signing. I don't really know if you guys have anything to say with that. You guys know Logan? He's a decent tight end.
I haven't ever met the guy, no, so I don't really know him. But I know, of him.
Logan, yes.
A little bit, of him.
And what do you think?
A little bit. He's a tight end for sure.
He's really competing to start there. Maybe on the other side where we got rid of our boy.
Gym rat. But he's a gym rat, you know, real hustler.
Yeah. So I don't know. The other thing, too, was that Cameron Latu had surgery on his knee. So that was one of the other reasons why we signed a tight end. But I think it's really just a competition thing. He might start in the other position if they do like a heavy set with two tight ends. But we still have George Kittle, and Logan Thomas is a bit older. So I don't know. Probably the biggest news that we've heard in the last week, Justin Jefferson gets a new contract extension worth $140 million in 4 years. $110 million of it is guaranteed, and $88.7 million of it is given to him when he signs. So there's a signing bonus of $88.7 million. He doesn't even have
insane. That's an insane chaser.
He could get, I don't want to even say this, but he could die tomorrow. Something could happen tomorrow where he never plays football again. He gets $88.7 million straight to his bank account. That is the craziest signing bonus I've ever seen. I don't even know if it's not even called a signing bonus. That's just what I'm calling it. When I looked it up, they said guarantee at sign, which I'm assuming is kind of what they say is a bonus, but $88.7 million, bro, went straight to his bank account.
That worries me because there is a growing number of – now, granted, it's only 4 years. Like, if Justin Jefferson stays healthy, he's going to just make money over money over money. However, let's say he makes that $88 million. Is Justin Jefferson the type of guy that's financially safe with his money? Because now you're looking – okay, granted, I'm talking about this in the form of a guy who's never made more than $20 an hour in his career – but $88 million is an insane, absurd amount of money. But when you're living that type of lifestyle, and you know, when you're in the off season, you don't have money rolling in, right? Like, you're paid per game, and you got to think there's a lot of agent payments, you know, taxes you got to pay. Really, over his career, like his contracts over the next 4 years, his contracts, like his game checks aren't going to be that big, right? Like in the grand scheme, I think he'll be fine. But like, let's say he doesn't play a game after he signs that contract. Will he be the next Antonio Brown? Is that possible? I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting.
Or like Kenny Galladay?
Yeah, to get someone.
He got paid and literally did nothing afterwards. Not to say Justin has that.
To get someone. But to get a contract that front loaded is interesting to me. Like, what could someone possibly need with $88 million the day that they sign a contract? Like, it's guaranteed you're going to get it paid out over the next few years. Like, maybe spread it out a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe I'm hating. I would take $88 million right now.
That's like preloaded. That's not even front loaded.
Yeah.
I also want to point out with this signing too that this makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL history.
Yep. That is insane. 4 years, $140 million, $110 million is guaranteed. And well, there's more stats to it too. I could pull it up even farther, which we could see right here. So his average salary, first in the NFL, like you said, the most ever by a non-quarterback, $35 million a year. 140 for the whole thing. Total guaranteed 110 million. Guarantee at sign 88.7 million. Okay, no. So his signing bonus was 36.9, but the guarantee at sign is 88.7. So I don't know what the difference is between that. I don't really understand it, but it seems like he's going to get 89 million no matter what if he doesn't play a fucking down ever again. Year one cash, $38 million per year. Year two, it builds on that, 69.9. And then year three, 95.7. So it is extremely, extremely front-loaded. It's insane, dude.
It's an insane
top non-quarterback average salaries of all time. Justin Jefferson, $35 million a year. Nick Bosa, $34 million a year. And A.J. Brown, $32 million a year, which we've seen the last two off-seasons, man. It's just these guys are starting to get paid a lot of money, man. A lot of money.
Now, going off of this now, a receiver that's very similar to what kind of like in Justin Jefferson's situation with the signing and everything and how much money he's now making, CeeDee Lamb. Like, I'm going to ask the question to you guys. Like, is CeeDee a top five receiver? And
yes.
Obviously, Justin Jefferson clears, in my opinion. But is CeeDee Lamb a top five wide receiver, and does he deserve to have that kind of money that he just got contracted with?
Not 35. If he makes 32, I'd be okay with it because you could maybe make the argument that he's as good as A.J. Brown, but I have him either in my fifth or sixth spot. I would go J.J., I would go Tyreek, I would go Ja'Marr Chase when healthy, I would go A.J. Brown. Maybe I would do A.J. Brown, then Ja'Marr Chase, actually. And then four and five, I think, or I guess five and six would be between CeeDee and Davante Adams when he's healthy. That's my top five.
I'm shocked you didn't put Ayuk in there at all. Honestly, I'm not just saying that because you're a Niner fan.
I think Ayuk is like 10, like genuinely. And then I would probably go Mon, and there's a couple other guys I could think of before.
Brandon,
but I do think he's top 10.
I'm not going to lie. I would put him on at seven. But or eight.
That would make it seven. Yeah.
Personally, I think CeeDee fits right there in the five spot.
Yeah, that's, I think that's my personal fair. Opinion. Oh yeah, never mind. We already mentioned
it. I think he's right there in the five spot. I definitely think that he could use a better quarterback because Dak Prescott is a fucking bum. But
I mean, he sucks in the playoffs, but Dak Prescott almost he might be a bum, but he almost every year leads the league in yards, touchdowns.
He can't win it, though. He can't win shit.
Like that's I get that. That's my point. Like, he sucks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But in the regular season, he's a GOAT. Like, he's a regular season legend. He's Aaron Rodgers. That's what he is. He's Aaron Rodgers.
No.
People love to hate.
You can't compare Dak to Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Here we go again.
No. I'm just saying about the idea that that he can't win. Aaron Rodgers has four MVPs coupled by a single ring in his whole career. He's got less. Dak has not been in the league for 20 years.
I just got a hamstring.
Dak.
Crap, sorry.
Wow, okay.
Fucking really hurt. Sorry, I just got a hamstring.
I'm just saying. I think Dak Prescott has that. I don't think he's going to get four MVPs like Aaron Rodgers got, but they both can't perform in the playoffs, and we still look at Aaron Rodgers as a generational legend, right?
You're saying Dak is going to be?
No, I'm just saying, like, I think if you're going to give Dak that same, like, Dak's a, he's a shitbox because he can't win in the playoffs, but he puts up gaudy numbers. Look at Aaron Rodgers in the same idea. Like, Aaron Rodgers puts up gaudy numbers every year.
Aaron Rodgers played in 2005 and he won in 2011.
He's been playing for 20 years and he has a single ring.
How long has Dak been playing? When did he start playing? When did Dak
press 7 years?
Playing? Yeah. He'd have to win it this year to basically match it. But
he would have also, to win it this year to match.
Will Dak ever be the best quarterback in the league?
I think last year in the regular season, he was the best quarterback in the league. I think he was second at least. Just but in terms of
there have been some numbers. Years where Aaron Rodgers has been unanimously the best quarterback and best player in the league. As in, he's had some GOAT seasons, some of the best seasons we've ever seen. I don't think we're ever going to see that from Dak.
Maybe. I mean, Dak did finish second in MVP voting last year.
Dak Prescott is literally another version of Tony Romo. Love Tony Romo, but
he is.
No,
like, his rookie year, he finished sixth in MVP voting.
Last year was a Mickey Mouse MVP. Last year was a Mickey Mouse season for MVP.
I actually thought Dak could have won that MVP. I really thought Dak should have won that MVP.
He could have.
105.9 quarterback rating, 92. Oh, never mind. 9 interceptions to 36 touchdowns, 410 completions on 70% completion percentage, with 4,500 yards. That's pretty good numbers. Pretty good. And he went 12-5.
Gets to the playoffs. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
No, but Anthony, kind of just building off of.
Oh yeah, go for it. I was gonna build off of it. Yeah. I was gonna backtrack to the whole CD and Justin Jefferson thing. We've seen a few years now from Justin Jefferson. We see how much he's getting paid now. We've seen a lot of years with CD Lamb now, and we're seeing how much he's getting paid now. Who would you rather have for the next 5 seasons? Justin Jefferson or CD Lamb?
I don't think it's a question. I would go with JJ in a heartbeat. And I have the stats to back it up, too. Like, Keaton, we could talk about this because I see the face. I see the face.
He wants to go CD.
This conversation started because CD Lamb.
No, I'm just kind of like leaning on the CD.
Right.
CD Lamb and Micah Parsons are not showing up to minicamp. That's kind of what started this. ESPN got a little bit. I don't know if they were bored or if they kind of want to, you know, throw out something that's controversial, but they posted something, like Anthony said. It said, who would you rather have, CD or JJ? For the next 5 seasons. Again, we're talking about contract extensions. We're talking about if he's even going to show up to minicamp, if he will play next year. But that was the question. Through that, I was like, okay, like there has to be a next slide or something. They're not just going to ask that. They did have a next slide that has the stats. 4 seasons played. JJ has 3 All-Pros, 3 Pro Bowls, 392 catches. No way, I just had. Oh, no, I'm right. 5,899 yards and 31 total touchdowns. CD has 4 seasons played, 2 All-Pros, 3 Pro Bowls, 395 catches, 5,145 yards, and 35 total touchdowns. But the kicker, Keaton, games played. Do you know the difference between the two?
60 to 66
played to by 60. CD and
60 by JJ. Say that again, Zach.
66 games played by CD and 60 games played by JJ. Both were drafted in 2020. Both have played 4 years. So if you go the route of you want someone that's healthy, it's kind of like the Joe Burrow versus the Jared Goff discussion, Keaton. And it seems like you have this devious smile that you want to be controversial, and I see it.
It's not controversial to say I want a consistent quarterback. It would be cool to have a quarterback like Josh Allen if I could rely on Josh Allen game in, game out. If I could rely on Joe Burrow game in, game out, I think Justin Jefferson is a hell of a ball player. And yes, I would take him over 5 years or like for the next 5 years. So I know you were saying I was smiling and whatever.
Okay.
I'm leaning on the fence because I'm going to be honest. What CD did last year was, Justin Jefferson had a season in which he had 128 receptions, 8 touchdowns, 1,800 yards. Now, CD last year had 135 receptions, 1,750 yards, coupled with, two touchdowns. So didn't have a lot of touchdowns, didn't really need to. Tony Pollard was, kind of the guy that got it. But still, what he did last year was unbelievable. That guy is just a yak machine. Justin Jefferson, though. I still take JJ. I think JJ is a better route runner. CD's a yak guy. I think Justin Jefferson is the best route runner in all of NFL. I think he's by the end of his career, he will be up there with the likes of Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, KJ Osborne, DK Metcalf's,
AJ Brown,
Debo Samuels,
Overtime Megan, just all the goats.
Gia Duddy. I think him and Jake Bobo.
Good. Serious question. I guess just because we mentioned that, and I agree with everything you just said, Keaton. I think JJ has better hands than CD. I think that he's obviously a better route runner. But I will say, I think CD has the yards after catch, right? Where would we rank CD in all of the wide receivers in the league with yards after the catch? Do we think he's top three? Do we think he's the best? Because I'm trying to think about it, and I'm like, obviously the Niners have a group of guys that love that shit, and maybe that's just built off of their system and just kind of the dogs that they are, quote unquote. But if you think about it, CD might be the best yards after catch guy. Brandon Ayuk, I know, is probably up there as well. Just if you look at
actually, Brandon Ayuk is where. So I actually have the official stat sheet for this. Brandon Ayuk isn't even in the top 25 for yards after catch this season. Believe it or not, Christian McCaffrey
is. Tyreek Hill has to be up there too. Surprisingly,
Tyreek Hill sits fourth. But yes, CD Lamb had 680 yards after the catch. I will say, Breece Hall, Puka Nacua up there, David Njoku is the first tight end up there. He had a gaudy year, 600 yards from Nico Collins, obviously. Debo's up there at 12 with 527. But yeah, you get up there, and really it's seven guys above the 600s. And by the time you get to the bottom 25, you're looking at 450 yards. So it's a good divide amount there. Yeah.
Good amount different.
Just out of curiosity with how he did last year in season, where's DJ Moore placed in that?
DJ Moore was on this list. He was 11th, right above Debo at 539 yards.
Got it.
I also will say, go for it, Keaton.
No, you're good. Go ahead. No.
I also will say, with all the contract extensions and wide receiver talk, there's been a lot of tier lists, that have been going around. And I'm not going to say DJ Moore is overrated, underrated, perfectly rated, whatever you want to think with him. I'm not going to give my opinion on it, but I will say I've seen multiple people do tier lists where he's in the A tier. Do you think DJ Moore is an A tier wide receiver? As in, A tier to me is top 10. I would not put DJ Moore top 10. I'm not going to say, again, he's overrated, underrated, whatever it is. But
I'm putting him in my top. Top 10 is such a gaudy list, because you got to be – basically, you are the best wide receiver in your whole division.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to put someone in that perspective. Like DK, I don't even think DK cracks the top 20.
Mm-mm.
At this current point, mm-mm, I think he's top third. I think he's the best on the team. I think he's
an absolute shame
in his division.
Kostika
actually,
so good, man.
I think he's the fifth best in his division. So, yeah.
Okay. Who's
ahead of him? Brandon Ayuk, Debo. I think they're both better.
Puka Nacua and
Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp.
Our white boy Cooper Kupp.
I think DK could be a top 10 receiver if he wanted
to. Used to be Keenan Allen as well.
What if he's
sixth? Not in that division.
Not in that division. Never mind. I was thinking of different ones.
What if he was sixth and Marvin Harrison's better than him? That would be
wild.
I don't think so yet.
With the new offense that they're going to get, I think DK is going to have a great year.
Speaking about that too, I've seen some podcasts that talk about NFL like we do, right? And they are saying that Marvin Harrison's going to have 1,400 yards.
Oh, God, get off his balls.
1,400 yards?
Yeah.
go bald. Maybe I shouldn't say that because someone's going to fucking clip that and be like, ah, you should go bald now. But I don't know what I would do. If he has 1,400 yards, I would be shocked. I would be shocked. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck.
It wouldn't suck, but it just would not be something that I see happening.
Well, no, it would suck because it's against my team. He's probably putting up silly, funny, funny number blunders.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh,
funny. I don't know. Whatever I was going to say.
Funny number mumbers.
Funny number mumbers. Funny numby mumbers, dude. Fumby numby numbers.
Well, going into our next
this door. This geofood's getting to me.
Going into our next door, we're going to talk a little bit about Darren Waller. I've seen a little bit about this. I wasn't the one that wrote this down. Who was the one that did?
I wrote this down. I didn't really see too much information off of it either, if I'm going to be completely honest. I saw this, and basically Darren Waller is expected to announce his retirement ahead of the Giants' mandatory minicamp, and that's literally it. That's all I've seen. There hasn't been a whole lot of information based around this.
I've got
mainly from what I've heard, at least. It's from teammates, people who are pretty close to him and whatnot, how he's kind of like hinting towards the retirement right now. Keaton, you said you have information. Please, please do tell, because I don't have a whole lot.
Yeah, you're good. So Zach's favorite tight end of all time, Darren Waller, he came out and he said that it isn't just about football. This really has nothing to do with this football team, the roster, who plays quarterback, or anything that happened last season. It's personal, and I'm doing my best to make sure it's not an emotional decision. You know, importantly, for some context, for those who aren't, you know, maybe fans of other sports other than football, Darren Waller recently got divorced from his wife, Kelsey Plum, who's a WNBA player for the Las Vegas Aces, or at least she was. I don't know if she's still there, but at the time she was. Anyway, they've both been kind of dragging each other through the mud. Amid some stuff, Darren Waller's starting to get into music, so who knows where that takes him. I mean, it's pretty bad, but yeah, it just sucks. I mean, I think there was definitely if he does retire, it sucks. I really think that there was a possibility that he was gonna, you know, he was just, I think he could have been really good in that system. I think he could have been really good this year, but I also could see from the other side that maybe he was just not a good fit in general anymore. I think maybe his body was past his prime and his head wasn't in it. And so there's that possibility, but you know, that's football, right? They're all human, and mental health is more important than a game. So,
Right.
I will say the Giants have been really snake bit with that. It seems like they give a wide receiver, a tight end, a playmaker, a good contract, and then their heads are just out of it. Like almost immediately afterwards, we've seen this with Darren Waller. We saw with Kenny, like we said earlier, very unfortunate. And with that being said, I actually saw a tweet and it was like, Darren Waller in the past year, maybe not the past year, past 2 years, whatever it was, has been traded to the Giants. In that timeline, he's been injured. He's had a divorce. He started to make music and now he wants to retire. And then it like skips a couple of like lines and it says, bottom line is, don't get traded to New York or don't get traded to the Giants. And I was like, fuck, man. And everyone is just toasting them in the comments. I was like, god damn, that's foul. But the Giants have been very unlucky, man. It's not something that's ideal for them.
Not at all. So, Keaton, do you want to take on the next topic?
I do.
Since you kind of took this away a little bit last week.
I do. So we talked about last week, we had some controversial topics, and one of those, we talked about Brandon McManus, who was facing a lawsuit between two women who were flight attendants, and they were basically saying that he sexually assaulted them. If you didn't watch the last episode, I'll make this short. They were on a flight to London for their London game, and what was basically in the lawsuit was that Brandon McManus and a few other players were invading the personal space of the flight attendants, often offering them lap dances for money. And multiple eyewitnesses say that Brandon McManus was seen touching them and groping them and just doing inappropriate stuff that is against NFL code of conduct, as well as flight code of conduct. That being said, we kind of had a little development in that, because it wasn't just Brandon McManus that was at fault, right? There is some stuff to happen with him, but also Jacksonville Jaguars were being investigated because there was reports of alcohol on the plane. And while that isn't, you know, like, people can drink on a plane when you're in the NFL and you're on an NFL chartered flight, teams are not allowed to have any form of substance that causes, like your brain to change. Like, you can't have alcohol, you can't have marijuana, you can't have any drugs on the plane, right? Well, it came out that according to multiple eyewitness testimonies and a new lawsuit, it looks like there was marijuana and alcohol use during the private flights. It says the Brandon McManus has denied any wrongdoings, but there were some details that put other Jacksonville Jaguar players in hot water. And there was actually a complaint filed by the flight attendants in one section that said that there was marijuana smoke coming from the plane's restrooms, and the restroom smelled of marijuana. So not great, because Jacksonville's probably going to get a fat fine for this. Like, realistically, they haven't gotten anything yet. I think the NFL found that there was sufficient evidence to corroborate with the fact that they did have it. So we'll see what happens with that. But Brandon McManus, because of this news, has been released. You know, we famously saw this with that punter from San Diego State. I forget his name.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like a generational punter and kicker too. Coming out of college. What was his name? It's going to bother me too. You'll probably get it faster than I do. But
yes, Matt Ariza.
Yes, Matt Ariza.
So, very similar, right? Released on suspicion of sexual assault. However, you know, during the whole Matt Ariza thing, which he has now since been proven innocent, the whole time it looked like he was good. Honestly, in Brandon McManus's case, is everything looks bad for him right now. The fact that the team broke code of conduct rules with having drugs on the plane and alcohol, and the fact that there was alcohol involved in the situation. Look, I've had shots of Hennessy before, man. I know what it does to me. I get in a weird mood, man. I kind of want to text my girlfriend real quick type mood, you know? So I'm sure that's entirely possible what could have happened, right? So
God.
Yeah, so he's officially been released from the Washington Commanders. It is a shame, which idiotic also move. Like, if him. He did it completely. If he did it, because it's if innocent until proven guilty. This guy allegedly. Sucks.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So. If he did do it,
right. He sucks. If he allegedly did do it, like an alleged person.
Right. I mean, allegedly, you're in jail. So.
Allegedly.
Some may say.
No, this is a real jail. That's me hitting the wall. It's very small, actually, believe it or not.
That's me hitting the wall. It's crazy, as if we didn't hear it. I mean, that sucks for Brandon. Kind of expected, though, after we talked about it last week. I mean, the NFL doesn't really fuck around with sexual assault, and it makes sense. But, bro, if you're accused of it, typically you get put in a bad situation. He got released, and that's what happened. Mm-hmm. If it is true, you deserve it.
Sexual assault, kind of cringe. Sorry to be controversial, kind of cringe. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Let's move on. Zach, do you want to talk about this Everson Griffin one?
I didn't put it down, but I mean, I can.
Oh, was it Anthony?
That was me again.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, leading into some other stuff that the NFL doesn't really give two shits about at all, is another driving while intoxicated incident by defensive end Everson Griffin. He was arrested late last week at some point, like either on a Thursday, I believe, on suspicion of driving while intoxicated. When is it just going to stop, boys?
This offseason, it's been wild.
Offseason is crazy.
Yeah, I don't.
It's been wild.
I had to bring that up just because of just how wild it's been. There's been so much. I feel like every single week now, we put out at least 2 to 3 incidents of players getting in trouble, doing something wrong. that they should not be doing. Getting arrested, getting fined, you know?
And it's like these players are just stupidly bored. Like, that's the best explanation I can say. That's the best way
I can explain. How can you be that bored, though? Like,
dude, I don't know. Like, they're just stupid and bored. Like, that's really what it is. Because at this point, it's not about money. You could be training if you want to. You could be hanging out with your teammates. You're not doing that. You're not making the greatest decisions. So you got to be bored. Because you don't have the excitement of the season. You're just making dumb fucking decisions, man.
I also do want to say, I think there's also something to say about, like, structure. Right? Like, for me, right? When I'm not – look, I'm going to be honest. When I am not employed, like I have been for the last few weeks, life has sucked, man. It's like, damn, what do I do with my time? It's like – because 8 hours of my day was filled with work. Right. Actually, no, 10 hours because the drive there, the lunches, all that. Now it's like, should I have all this free time? It's like I'll be outside, but doesn't count for things. I get bored, and yeah, that's what happens. So I think what happens is your whole life, you're so used to this consistent, you know, football all year round. And then you get to the NFL, and it's like, oh, shit, it's the off season. I don't have to do anything.
I've got money.
I can go spend it. I can go have fun. And then that's where those, like, that's where the demons kick in, where it's like, ah, I'm good, bro. I'm like, I'm untouchable. I'm, you know, and they don't think about it until it happens, right? There's not that consistent structure to make sure they don't do it. So
money talks in multiple different ways, fellas. Money talks in multiple different ways.
That's a bar, bro. I'm not going to cap.
That's a fucking bar, Mike.
That's a bar.
Speaking about money, though, Tyreek Hill is ready to put the Dolphins in a tough spot because he wants a new contract.
Banger intro.
Well, here's the funny thing about that, though. He has no interest of leaving the Dolphins whatsoever. He has no interest, and he wants to stay there.
I think this is greedy, honestly, at this point. No disrespect to him. I love Tyreek. Last year in the playoffs, he didn't do shit against the Chiefs, brother. He didn't do much. Even your coach said, we paid you all this money to do something. You didn't do anything. It was literally shown in the video. The mic'd up that we saw both you and your coach. You got roasted by your coach, and then in the offseason, it's like, okay, we know you're a great fucking player, but everything has happened in this offseason where it's like these players are starting to kind of change the market. We saw what just happened with Justin Jefferson, and now you come out and you say that you want more money. It's like, dude, come on, man. Like, it doesn't even, like, make sense to me. You're already getting paid a fuck ton. Wait until your next contract, or win something first and then say, hey, I didn't just do it in the regular season. I did it in the postseason as well. Because this is kind of like the Micah Parsons effect to me, man. Great player when it comes to regular season. I think Tyreek Hill is a top 10 player in the league. I think he's 1A, 1B with Justin Jefferson. But if you're asking for a new contract just because a guy that's as good as you got paid more, you're kind of greedy. Especially on a team that doesn't have a lot of cap space. You're greedy.
I think Tyreek Hill is deserving of a big contract, but yeah, his productivity wasn't great last year, but every year before that's been great. So I mean, if he wants a fat contract, I don't think he stays on that team.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, to me, it's just going to be a small extension though, because he's already getting paid, what, $30 million a year? I think it might be 31. Like that.
I'll look it up right now.
I need to look this up. $30 million, four-year, $120 million contract. So you're getting paid $5 million less than the best wide receiver in the league. I understand it. You want to be paid like you're the best, but with a team that doesn't have a lot of money in the cap space and they're kind of short on extensions that they can give out, you're kind of being greedy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
God, He's making $43 million in 2026, and he's complaining about money? Come on.
Sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. But it's like, dude, cap space is hell for a lot of teams, and it is hell right now for the Dolphins. You can't really do that with the offseason that you guys have had either. Like, you need to stay and build something there. It's like, you're getting paid $30 mil. Not a lot of people can say that. It's greedy. It's greedy to me.
I would kill to have $30 million. Get paid that much.
All of us would.
All right. I'd kill to have $100,000 right now.
Honestly, yeah, same.
No fucking shit.
So,
moving into a sad story though, Larry Allen died a couple of days ago at the young age of 52. What a shame, dude. This one like actually makes me sad because I met him. I met him at the Livermore Bowling Alley, the Granada Bowling Alley. I got to meet him, shake his hand, talk to him for a bit when I was like really young. He was massive, by the way. But this one is an article from TMZ about his daughter. I don't really want to read something out from TMZ, so I'm not going to. This one's more so something that I would read out from NBC. So it just says, Dallas Cowboys legend Larry Allen has died while vacationing with his family in Mexico. He was 52. Allen, who played for the Cowboys for 12 seasons, died suddenly Sunday, according to the football team. So it's not clear at this time why he died or how he died. Super sad. He's literally vacationing with his family, bro. 12 seasons with the Cowboys, died just suddenly Sunday.
Sucks. Yeah, it sucks, man.
And he's a massive dude. Massive. And
he's huge.
Hall of Famer.
When you don't play sports like that, it gets to you with the weight. You know, you're not lifting as much. You're probably vacationing a little bit more. My guess, and I don't want to put speculation out there, it was probably heart. I mean, he's over 400 pounds. He played at something crazy like that. Let's see.
It said his reported weight was 325, but he's probably playing heavier than that.
Yeah, 6'3", 325, but Maybe I'm tripping. He was massive though, dude. He probably wasn't that big, but he's probably pushing.
He's also like, now. Also like when I was a kid, I used to think my mom's like 5'10". I used to think my mom was mad. He like my mom was just like, damn, what the? She's like a giant. And I'm like, oh, I'm taller than her. Yeah.
Bro. Like 300 plus pounds too. I think he played at probably like 330. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping with the 400 and that was someone else. But he's a massive dude. Really sucks. I met him. Great dude. Crazy laugh too. Great dude in general, super strong. Probably the second best offensive tackle ever. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer, 11-time Pro Bowler, 6-team All-First Pro, 2nd-team All-Pro, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, dude. It's kind of crazy. During his 14-season career, Allen played both guard and tackle. He's drafted out of Sonoma State University. Shouts to Sonoma State. In the second round of the 1994 draft, Allen impressed with his strength, size, and speed. I've seen some videos of him benching 700 pounds. He did the 225 test like 50 times. I mean, just crazy shit, dude. R.I.P. Seriously, a legend. That one made me really sad, man. And really, the last story that we have is the NFL tampering ruling for the Falcons and the Eagles. I thought this one was crazy. And you know what's funny is, I didn't see this on the news, so I don't know if this is something that happened earlier on in the year or later or something that just happened recently, but I saw that the NFL is coming out with their ruling for the tampering of Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley for both of their respective teams now that they signed with, that being the Falcons and the Eagles. And I saw this at the gym on the TV, so I was like, okay. But a lot of people are saying that it wasn't let's just say, for lack of better terms, fair for the rest of the teams because they signed contracts so early in the offseason. And if we look into it, it says specifically here, let me click on it. During the 2024 NFL offseason, two moves rocked the entire league. The first was the Atlanta Falcons snatching Kirk Cousins away from the Minnesota Vikings. The other deal, obviously, was Saquon with Philly. Fans were suspicious of the timing of the moves as they were done pretty quickly after the offseason officially started. The NFL keyed in on this and launched an investigation into potential tampering done by the Falcons and Eagles. Supposedly, they're supposed to come out with their decision this week. Now, this was written on June 2nd, which was Sunday. So we're still waiting for the actual case decision, but I don't know. Do you guys think that there was some tampering done?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. It was done so fast, though. I mean, like, first day, it was like, Kirk Cousins signed a contract, and then Saquon's gone. I was like, wow, that was quick. I've heard this whole offseason that it's been tampering, that there's been tampering involved. So we'll find out. It looks like we're going to find out by this week. So next week for you guys, we'll have an update on that too. But, Ant, yeah, go ahead.
I kind of agree with that. I don't – for as much information that we have right now, I don't think it's enough for us to actually – come clear and say, hey, we can pretty confidently say that this was tampered with. I personally feel like that's how I feel personally. There's not enough information out there that I can confidently say like 90% of 90% sure of me say that, yes, this was tampering. I think that we're going to have more information by the end of this week, and we'll be able to talk about that more than next week, which I'm excited for, because I am curious to see if it was tampered with. There could be suspicion for sure. There's a little bit there.
What's even going to happen with that? They just get fined?
Probably it's just going to be a fine. I don't really think it's going to be anything. They're going to be
like, all right, like, we'll just throw the money at you. We got the players already. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change anything.
Right. So I don't know.
I don't know. It's not really a big deal. I just saw it was like, okay, like, this is something we can talk about. It's not good to tamper, but it happens in all sports, and it happens pretty much every offseason. So it doesn't surprise me that if it does come out that they tampered, that that was the actual case. But that wraps up everything that I have. You guys have anything that you want to add on?
Nope. All good.
We'll see if I can even see if I can even record next week, you know?
Dude, yeah. I mean, that's what I was about to say. Like, we're wrapping it up, and we're just praying that Keaton can get out of there, man. Like, that's our big thing. So, you know, say a couple prayers for Keaton. Say a couple prayers that we continue to get 12,000 views on our YouTube shorts. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out.
Donald Trump, save us. Save us, Donald Trump. If you haven't seen the video, you should just type in
the meme video. Donald Trump. Funny.
So good. So funny.
But yeah, that wraps it up.
Sweet. All right. Have a great rest of your night.
Yep. Please like and subscribe. We'll catch y'all next week.